We hear you? Perfect. It is Wednesday, October 16, 2019. I am the Solemn Monster. This is your AEW Dynamite Review from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, or so they call it. I got an email from a listener a few days ago, Grant, who lives in Aberdeen, Scotland. I don't know what time it is right now in Scotland, so I have no idea if he's listening live to the stream right now. But he sent me this email. He said, not sure if you've been made aware of the interesting developments in regards to AEW Dynamite being shown in the UK. As of last week, they now air on a Friday night at 10:55 p.m. on ITV4. The finish to Dynamite last week had a 5-minute overlap on the live start time of 1 a.m. with SmackDown on Sky Sports. The new time slot seems to be quite well received in the UK as compared to how it was before. So, I don't know how many UK people we have listening live right now, and I do take Grant's word for it, but chime in and let me know. You know, is that a better slot? It seems like it's being bounced around an awful lot. I thought it was supposed to be in that ITV hub on Thursdays. Is that not the case? I mean, did that change? Now, all of a sudden, it's Friday night at 10:55. I don't know. You guys will let me know. We have somebody from Glasgow in the chat. So feel free to chime in here. Oh, and by the way, Super Chats are open. I know we already had one before the stream even started. So I want to give a shout out to Casey Is Raw. Thank you for the $2 Super Chat. Casey says, AEW had an awesome main event. Show was 7 out of 10 for me. You know, I think that's fair. I think 7 out of 10 is a fair score. I might even go, you know, 7.5 out of 10 for the show tonight. I thought last week was a better show overall. I just personally enjoyed it a little bit more. But God, I mean, you know, when you look at some of these, and I don't even want to talk, honestly, about WWE, but when you see some of these shows that we've recently had, you learn to appreciate something like AEW. You learn to appreciate something like even NXT. You learn to appreciate the NWA. And I am going to talk NWA since I'm all caught up. I decided we're going to make this what I'm calling an Elite Power stream here tonight. I'm kind of merging the two names. I'm merging the two shows. So when I'm done talking AEW, I will get into NWA Power, which I encourage everybody to watch. If you're missing the show, you're really missing out. It's a very easy hour to watch. I know there's a lot of wrestling in the week, but take my word for it. It is absolutely worth your time. Last week at the AEW taping, they taped matches for AEW Dark. Last night on YouTube, it debuted the match that everybody was talking about between Kenny Omega and Joey Janela. They had a lights out match, and people were asking me, did you see it? Did you see the match? Can you talk about it? I did see the match. I only first watched it a few hours ago. I actually watched it on the way home from work, and it was crazy, as you would expect. I mean, it's Joey Janela, so what else is new? You know, you had the ladders, and you had the tables, and you had all the crazy stuff. Janela went for a frog splash at one point on Omega through a table. Omega moved, so he went through the table. There's a lot of crazy shit in that match. Kenny Omega picks up the win. Apparently, it doesn't count towards his win-loss record, which is such a big deal in AEW, win-loss records, because it was a non-sanctioned match, which I guess kind of makes sense. If it's non-sanctioned by AEW, why would it count towards wins and losses? So it did not count as a win for Kenny Omega, who I believe still only has one singles win thus far in his time here in AEW. Poor guy. He's got to work his way up the ladder. Shout out to everybody in the chat, by the way, as we are building people up. People are filtering in here. So tonight's show is very tag team heavy. And I'm not usually a fan of very tag team heavy shows. We see that a lot on Raw, six-man tags, and just meaningless tag team matches. It's understandable here. I'll give them a pass. There is a tag team tournament ongoing, so obviously you're going to have a lot more in the way of tag team matches. And by the way, it was good to see Ted Turner enjoying the show tonight. I saw that giant Ted Turner head smiling, those buck teeth. You know, Vince McMahon was watching, probably. Vince McMahon was not watching. But if he was, he would be clenching his teeth. So good to see Ted Turner back here on TNT, enjoying himself some Dynamite. So they were opening with a tag team tournament match. It was going to be SCU. And they were coming out for a match when they were jumped. They were going to be SCU against the Best Friends. They got jumped by the Lucha Bros. And they beat the piss out of SCU. They gave Daniels, Pentagon did, a package pile driver on the ramp. And so that took Daniels out of the match. Scorpio Sky came down, said, "Let me in. Put me in, coach. Let me in." He was pleading with the referee to let him in. And referee Rick Knox made the call to allow him to take Daniels' place in the match. So they carried him out on a backboard and everything. I believe they had an injury update on him later on in the show. I had stepped away for a second. So when I came in, JR and Tony Schiavone were kind of at the tail end of giving the update. I assume he's not dead. As long as he's not dead, that's all that matters. So I'm sure he'll be fine. At one point during the match, Chuck Taylor took off Scorpio Sky's shoes. And he bit down on his toes. Thankfully, he was wearing socks. We had Scorpio Sky later on took his other shoe off, tossed it into the crowd. Crowd popped huge when somebody threw the shoe back into the ring at him. And the finish saw Frankie Kazarian hit a powerbomb into a dropkick by Scorpio Sky on Trent Beretta, and Kazarian got the pin. So SCU is moving on in the tag team title tournament. We had another tag team match after this. Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle, don't call them LAX, they took on the team of John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Now, John Silver, as soon as I took one look at this guy, I recognized him instantly. I just called a match of his at the House of Glory show not 2 weeks ago. And he was wrestling Matt Travis in the HOG World Title Tournament. There is a title vacancy in House of Glory, Masterpiece, House of Glory. And so I just seen him, and he's actually really good. I have no idea if they have plans of using him more here in AEW. My guess is this was probably just a one-off. They were in Philly. They needed some bodies, and they brought him, and they brought, you know, Alex Reynolds in. But having watched him work before, he's really good. So if you happen to see John Silver, he is a short guy, but he's all, you know, all jacked up, keeps himself in good shape, and he's a very good pro wrestler. But this was obviously all just designed to be a squash for Santana and Ortiz. Ortiz is hilarious. I look at Ortiz, and every time I see him, and every time he's doing his antics, or he's chewing on the top rope, or he's acting like a fool, I just think to myself, he just always reminds me of Rick Steiner. He is the dog-faced gremlin of this team. That is exactly what he reminds me of. And so Santana and Ortiz pick up the win. Chris Jericho popped up on the Tron when it was over to applaud his stablemates, and the challenge was thrown out to the Young Bucks for a match between the Young Bucks and Santana and Ortiz at Full Gear. I guess we'll hear more from the Bucks next week, since they were saying that they will be wrestling on the show next Wednesday. They aired a Cody video package that was quite great. This was to promote his championship match coming up at Full Gear with Chris Jericho. And it showed him at home with his wife. We had comments from Brandy. We had comments from Cody's mom. We had comments from Diamond Dallas Page, MJF, his best friend in the world, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone. And I watched this, and it was very well done. It was very well done. I guess Kevin Sullivan, not that Kevin Sullivan, but Kevin Sullivan, formerly of Impact, poached over by AEW, did a great job with this. And I watch Cody in this video package. I watch Cody when he comes out to wrestle on the show, as he did, you know, last week or the week before. And I know that there are people out there who are not fond of Cody. They don't like him. Whatever their reasons are, you don't have to like him. But I do think that you have to admit, he is a bigger babyface in AEW than anybody who I can think of that they have positioned as a top babyface right now in WWE. I mean, who would you consider to be? And when I say top babyface, I don't just mean the company is positioning them as the top babyface. The company would love for Seth Rollins to be the top babyface. He ain't no top babyface. And Roman Reigns is more accepted than he's ever been before, but he doesn't feel like it either. There's no great, like, clamoring or acceptance of any one guy in that company right now. Cody in AEW, when he comes out, he gets that superstar, kind of megastar reaction. So, you know, they've got something with him as far as him being that guy, and it's going to be tough because if they push him like that, you're going to get the natural blowback from people saying, well, you know, they're pushing Cody. He's the Triple H of AEW. I mean, I was getting comments from people about Cody comparing him to Triple H months ago. Keeps winning matches. Now he's challenging for the championship. And, you know, it's fair enough. I mean, you're going to have people who make those comparisons. But, the reality is, I can't think of anybody else, you know, who comes out and gets those kinds of reactions. I mean, maybe Omega. So he's got a good thing going. And I think he's the right choice to go into this pay-per-view. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he should win the championship. I still think MJF. Keep an eye out for him. But this was a very good video package. We had Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, and Riho for the AEW Women's Championship. This turned into a good match down the stretch. I didn't think this was very good at all in the opening minutes. And I don't know if I'm alone in that sentiment or not. I saw some tweets online from people calling, oh, what a great match, what a great match. And I said, well, you know, yeah, I mean, it turned into one, but these two did not seem like they were on the same page at all when this match kicked off. Just a lot of stalling, and they were just, I don't know what they were doing. They were like tied up in knots, and then the referee had to separate them, and then they came back together, and it was just very, I don't know, it just felt like they just were not on the same wavelength. And then I would say in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, it turned into a good match. The people were into it. There were some really good near falls. Riho hit a double stomp for a two count and then hit a running double knee strike for another near fall. She went for the double knees again. Baker moved out of the way, went for her lockjaw submission, the Rings of Saturn and mandible claw combo. And Riho was able to just roll up, just kind of roll her up and get the surprise pin to retain the title. And I don't know, you know, I watched Britt Baker. And there's something about her demeanor. I got this impression when Riho won the championship and they had Britt Baker on commentary. Even when she was doing commentary, she felt very almost like disengaged or like she had almost like an attitude about her. There's something about her that screams heel to me. I don't know if I'm the only one who picks up on this. I don't know if I'm the only one who feels that way. And I have no idea if that's something they're building to. You know, tonight, she lost. She shook Riho's hand. She didn't attack her. She didn't slap her. She didn't roll her eyes or give any indication that, you know, they're planning on turning her or anything like that. Just, I don't know. There's something about her, the way she carries herself. I feel she would be better suited as a heel. Second tag team tournament match of the night, Jurassic Express against the Lucha Bros. This was very unfortunate. I am a big fan of the Lucha, or rather the Jurassic Express. I'm a big fan of the Luchasaurus. I know a lot of you are as well. I think this guy's got big things in his future. I had the Jurassic Express as my pick to win the entire tag team tournament. They were my pick. There were people after Private Party beat the Young Bucks. Oh, how can you? Of course it's going to be Private Party. They wouldn't put them over the Young Bucks unless they were going to win the entire thing. I said, nope, 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 nope. It's got to be the Luchasaurus. And it's gotta be Jungle Boy. And then I go online earlier, and I believe it was PW Insider broke the news that Luchasaurus was injured. I don't know how he suffered the injury. On TV tonight, they said it was like a non-combat injury. Maybe he was in training. Maybe he slipped on a banana peel. Who knows? Apparently it's a hamstring injury. I don't know if it's a torn hamstring, if it's pulled, if it's strained. I don't know the extent of it. They said on TV tonight he was at the hospital being evaluated. He didn't even make an appearance on the show. I assume because they just didn't want him to get physical. So if he's not going to get physical, why have him on the show? That sucks. That really sucks. Because those two together are arguably the most overact in the entire company, even though we have yet to see them together on television. We've only seen them at the big shows, right? Double or Nothing, All Out. We have yet to see them really make their TV debut on Dynamite. So I was really looking forward to this. It sucks that he got hurt. So instead, they slipped Marco Stunt, who is the third wheel of this group. And they're very fortunate that they have a third member. They were able to slide him in there. Once I saw Jungle Boy in there with a teenager, I knew it was over. I knew my pick was ruined. I said, that's it. Pentagon and Phoenix are going to advance. And maybe they were going to advance anyway, right? The stuff with them and SCU. But I still would have had the Jurassic Express as my pick to go all the way. So this turned into an excellent match. I will say, I kind of suffer from the same thing that I know some of you do, which is as fun, and I think they call him Mr. Fun Size, as fun as it can be to watch Marco Stunt in there, you know, we're pushing the boundaries of believability here. I know we're talking about a team that has a giant guy in a dinosaur mask. So, I mean, you could pretty much throw realism out the fucking window here. But yes, it was even a stretch for me to buy into some of these spots with Marco Stunt. But as small as he is, doing a lot of the Lucha stuff with Pentagon and and Phoenix is just awesome. Phoenix, I would even say that Phoenix may well be the best in the business right now at what he does. When it comes to all of the flips and the dives and the moonsaults and the Lucha moves and just all the things that this guy does, you know, it used to be Ricochet. Now I watch Ricochet on TV and I'm bored to tears half the time. I have no idea why. I'm sure Ricochet is every bit as talented now as he was 6 months or a year ago. These people go to Raw and all of a sudden they're boring. Phoenix can do things that very few people can do. Now he's going to kill himself one day, and he's already gotten hurt before. I fear for his safety. I fear for his life. Some of these moves that he does. But I knew this going back to Lucha Underground. This guy's incredible. So him working off of a smaller guy like Marco Stunt worked in this match, even though some spots were completely ridiculously unbelievable. It turned into a fun match. Thankfully, it was the correct outcome, which was the Lucha Bros beating the shit out of them and getting the win. And it will be the Lucha Bros moving on in the tag team tournament. Let me just take a pause real quick here. Take a look at some of the activity going on in the chat. Shout out to everybody joining live here on this Wednesday night. Ricochet to AEW, says Khalid Adam. No, I don't think so. I'm sure WWE has him locked down for a long time to come. They don't want to let a guy like him get away from them. Let's move on here as we go to Kenny Omega. Yet another tag team match. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page against Jon Moxley and Pac. Moxley was stripped of his IWGP United States Championship in New Japan. He had travel issues getting in for the show the other day because of the typhoon. Kind of a good excuse, you know. It's a typhoon. Some flights may not be running, so he couldn't make it. So what'd they do? They stripped him. As far as I know, he is supposed to be wrestling at least one of the nights. I think it's January 4th in the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom. Or at least that's... I believe what he himself said months ago. We'll see. I guess we'll see what happens. Lance Archer is the new United States champion. We got happy birthday chants for Kenny Omega here at the start of this match. Kenny turned 36 today. I believe he said he signed a 4-year deal with AEW. This would have been earlier this year. So they got him until he's 40. Could be the last 4 great years of his career are going to be spent right here in AEW. So Adam Page is a crazy man. He goes up top. He's teasing a moonsault off the ring post. Jon Moxley shoves Page off the top, and Adam Page takes this unbelievably dumb bump off of the top rope, down onto the edge of the ring apron. Back first, spine first. Just clipped the edge of the ring apron on his way down. Stupid. Cool to see, but stupid. So then it was basically Dive City. Moxley hits a dive and Page comes back into the match. He did eventually hit that moonsault off the post, wiped everybody out. We had Kenny Omega hitting Pac with a buckle bomb in the corner. Standing shooting star press by Hangman on Pac. Moxley breaks it up. And skipping ahead here, we had Moxley hit the paradigm shift on Pac after flipping him off because Pac had the audacity. This is what Pac did. He had the audacity to take the weapons that had been introduced by Omega and Moxley, which would have gotten his team disqualified because this was not a no DQ match. Kenny had gotten the barbed wire broom. Moxley had gotten, I believe, the bat. Pac was having none of this. He collected the weapons before Moxley could use them. He dumped them outside. He got in his face. What are you doing? You're going to get us DQ'd. Moxley said, F you, flipped him off, hit the paradigm shift, huge pop, and he walked out. And with that, Pac was left all by his lonesome. Page hit him with the buckshot lariat. Kenny Omega followed up with a V-trigger. And Hangman pins Pac to win the match for their team. So now, next week on Dynamite, it's going to be Jon Moxley one-on-one against Pac. And also next week, the next two tag team title tournament matches, it's going to be Private Party against the Lucha Bros, which should be, I mean, that's going to be unreal. And SCU against the Dark Order. So if you look at the brackets here, it looks like they're setting up for Lucha Bros and SCU in the final of the tournament. I would have to think with the Lucha Bros winning the tag team titles, if I had to take a guess. So then we get to Chris Jericho and Darby Allin. Philadelphia street fight for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Jericho comes out dressed up as the Painmaker. He's got the makeup, all the gear that he was wearing in New Japan. He looks like that guy from Clockwork Orange. So Jericho is attacking Allin later on in the match with a kendo stick. They showed Darby Allin. He was bleeding from the back of his head. Jericho puts the Walls of Jericho on Darby Allin. He makes the ropes. So Jericho hits a code breaker. And Allin is able to grab the bottom rope to make sure that he does not suffer the three count. Jericho was bleeding. I think it was from his eye or from his forehead. So we had some blood here in this match. Jericho brings a chair into the match. He hits Darby with it. And then he teases, giving him a lawn dart. Going to lawn dart him into a chair that he wedged between the buckles in the corner. Instead, Darby Allin reverses it into a stunner for a near fall. So we had a lion salt to Chris Jericho. We had a dive through the ropes to Chris Jericho. And both of these moves were done after Darby had his hands tied behind his back. Jericho had grabbed some, what was it? Was it rope? It was hard for me to see because I was typing as I was watching. But he tied Darby Allin's hands behind his back, kind of Rockin' Mankind style, at the Royal Rumble in 99, minus the 15 chair shots to the head. And with his hands cuffed behind his back, he hit a quebrada to Jericho. He hit the dive, a great dive, cannonball dive, threw the ropes out to the floor. That was pretty incredible. And then after that, he hit a twisting moonsault off the top rope. He climbed up to the top rope with no hands and hit a twisting moonsault for a near fall. So Jericho grabs Darby's skateboard. Word of advice, don't ever bring a skateboard down to the ring. Brings a skateboard into the ring, gives him a double underhook suplex onto it, only gets a near fall. Darby fights back. He's going up top. He's going for the coffin drop. Jake Hager nails Allin with a right hand behind the ref's back. He stumbles backwards, and Jericho puts him in the lion tamer, gets the tap out for the win to retain his championship. The rest of the inner circle come out. Santana, Ortiz, they've got bottles of champagne in their hand, and they're going to pop the cork and have some bubbly, a little bit of the bubbly, as they go off the air. And that was your show. That was AEW Dynamite. I like the commentary. You know, they seem to be finding a good rhythm, Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone. Again, they come from a play-by-play background. So when you have two guys who are so used to doing play-by-play, you worry that maybe they're going to step over each other. You know, he's going to call a move. They both go to call the move at the same time. We really haven't had much of that. And Excalibur is sort of a good referee, I feel like, between the two of them. But they seem to be, you know, finding a good rhythm together. And easily, the commentary is better than what we'll get any given week on Raw or even SmackDown. Or at least Tony Schiavone probably has as much to do with that as anything, because he's still very good. And his voice, brings back memories of a bygone era, I'm sure, for a lot of people who are watching this show. Let's take a look at how the poll results are doing. There you go. So far, over 1,500 votes, 82% thumbs up, 18% thumbs down. So an overwhelmingly positive response with more votes coming in as far as what you guys thought of Dynamite here tonight. Week 3, as we move on to the 4th episode next week. Again, for anybody interested, Super Chats are open. I will read your message since I finally figured out I need to have this separate window open here. So anybody who does send a message in, I'll be sure to read that. So with that being said, I did mention that I was able to check out the latest episode of NWA Power. NWA Power, episode 2, which last I checked about an hour ago, over 160,000 views and counting on the YouTube channel for the NWA, which is very cool. And in case you missed it, I had a 45-minute interview with David Lagana, the vice president of the NWA, who's been working side-by-side on this project now for over 2 years, with Billy Corgan going back to their days together when they were first introduced to each other in TNA. And a lot of really good bits of information and some background also on some of the drama between Billy and a certain lady from the South, and a certain company with an owl in their logo. So some interesting information there. It's elsewhere on the channel. If you missed it, you can check it out when you're done listening to this review. They also are gearing up for their first live pay-per-view since starting the TV show. It's going to be called Into the Fire, which has officially been announced for December 14th. It's going to be part of their December TV tapings. Of course, the name comes from the song by Dokken, Old School. I want to say that song came out in 79. Pretty sure it was 1979. Anyway, that's the song that you hear at the beginning of each week's episode, and so they have named their next pay-per-view after the song. So we had Aaron Stevens. If you don't know who Aaron Stevens is, Aaron Stevens, who came out here on this show to speak with Dave Marquez in studio, is the former Damian Sandow in WWE. And when I talked to Lagana the other day, and I said to him, is there anybody that we should be keeping an eye out for? Because there's going to be a lot of different names, a lot that you guys would probably even know, who are going to be making their debut on the television show in the coming weeks. Is there any one guy? I know you don't like singling people out, but come on, give me a name. Is there one guy we should watch out for? He said, watch out for Aaron Stevens. You're going to be very surprised when you see him. I don't know if he meant in the ring. I don't know if he meant promo-wise. Probably promo-wise. Keep an eye out for him. Here, he came out. He was kind of, it was weird because it was almost like he was doing a stand-up routine. He was playing things for comedy. He said, look, I left wrestling 2 years ago. I found success in Hollywood. I have no idea what movies he's done, but that's what he claimed. He found success in Hollywood. And when he heard the NWA was back, he said, I had to come back too. I knew it was my time to finally come back. And then he told everybody, do not make eye contact with me. Don't look at me. No eye contact. And he said that in a sea of supporting actors, I am the star. And he walked off. I felt like he was starting to ramble on, kind of like me here, which is how you can tell that this stuff really isn't scripted. And I love it. I actually think it adds to the charm of the show because we're so used to things just sounding so forced and rehearsed that it's very easy, at least for me it is, it's very easy to tell when somebody's out there with no net and they're just talking. You know, maybe they'll stammer and stutter a little bit, lose their train of thought. It just felt very, you know, organic to me. It was just a nice change of pace. And we'll see what Lagana's talking about as far as, you know, he goes in the next few weeks. If he really is as much of a standout star as he said he was going to be. Speaking of former WWE stars, Trevor Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch wrestled Ricky Starks, a guy who I'm willing to bet most people right now in this chat never even heard of before. I know I didn't. For Trevor, it's been over a decade since we saw him in a WWE ring. It's about that same amount of time since we saw him in TNA. He had a brief run there. I feel like everybody at one time who was in WWE, in the mid-card anyway, had a run in TNA. He's been retired for many years. He's been working in, I think, maybe some kind of like construction company or something. So he's been out of wrestling. And he was at the funeral for Harley Race, who helped train him. And he was very close to Harley and very broken up, you know, by his death. And I guess Lagana must have been at the funeral as well. So the two of them saw each other. And this was right, this might have been the same day that the NWA announced this new television show. And they were having a conversation, and Murdoch is like, man, you know, I feel like I want to get involved, but I don't know. And Lagana said, come down to Atlanta. And he's like, well, what am I going to do? And Lagana said, I don't know. Just come down to Atlanta. We'll figure something out. We'll find something for you to do. And just like that, he was back in wrestling. And you look at him, and he's looking a lot more like Dick Murdoch these days. Which I don't, you know, hey, I guess it's up to the individual if you think that's a good thing or not, but you look at him now and he definitely bears a striking resemblance to Dick Murdoch. If you look at them side by side, watching him in that studio setting, because he does have that kind of old, you don't see a lot of guys who look like him anymore. Wrestling used to be full of people who looked like Trevor Murdoch, and some of them had absolutely no talent, and some of them had all the talent in the world, even if they didn't have the best physique. And I kind of miss having guys like that, you know, on the card. So him in that studio setting just felt like the perfect fit. And I'll tell you who else would fit right into that studio like a glove from like the current crop of stars. The Revival. You can't tell me that you don't think Dash and Dawson would fit perfectly right now. Of all the companies out there, WWE, even AEW, New Japan, they wouldn't fit New Japan at all. NWA. NWA would be the perfect fit for the Revival. So I hope that they get the hell out of there next year when their deals are up. And they're probably going to end up in AEW because you know they're going to want to do that Young Bucks feud. Before they do that, I hope they make a pit stop in the NWA. Hopefully the NWA is still going strong. Maybe by then they'll be on TV somewhere. Hopefully. And I want them to at least make a quick pit stop in the NWA. They have to wrestle at least once in that studio, preferably against a couple of guys who look just like Trevor Murdoch. So Ricky Starks pinned him off of a crucifix. Murdoch was a man. He shook his hand when the match was over. He said, you were the better man. And he walked off. And then Starks cut a pretty good promo. He was talking about how, you know, God didn't have much beauty left over after he made me. I might be a little funny, but I'm coming for your money. Yeah, he was rhyming. So I guess he'll be somebody to watch out for. Here's the thing, though. Here's a huge negative on this guy. He calls himself, I don't know why, he calls himself the Stroke Daddy. I don't know what that means. I have a sense. I don't want to know what that means. I can't cheer for somebody who calls himself the Stroke Daddy. I just can't bring myself to do that. Colt Cabana, fresh off of his the end of his lawsuit with CM Punk, who was no fan of Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana comes out. He's being interviewed by Joe Galli, the lead play-by-play man in the NWA. And he said, look, you know, I'm going after all the championships. He was the, the national title. And I think he got hurt. He either lost it or he was stripped of it, whatever the case was. He goes, you know what, I don't want to just go after that. I want to go after all the titles, and that includes the tag team titles. And out comes Mr. Anderson. Ken Anderson comes out. He's yelling his own name. He's still doing his shtick. Cabana then kind of imitated him and stole his catchphrase, and Anderson had this look on his face like, what the hell are you doing? So they were tag team partners, just like that, out of the blue. They were tag team partners against the combo of Sal Renaro and Jordan Kingsley. And this was just an exhibition for Cabana and Anderson. Anderson with the mic check for the win. Then we had... oh, this was something. This fucking thing was something. We had a... this actually, you know what? As much as I like this show, these things are becoming my favorite part of NWA Power each week. Last week, with the first episode, we had what I thought was just a spoof. I thought it was like an SNL skit Only this time, you know, it was actually funny. Actually, you know what? I shouldn't crap on SNL this week, because I don't know how many of you saw the Grouch trailer that they put together, which was their takeoff. It was like a, supposed to be like the Joker, but it's the Grouch, you know, based off Oscar the Grouch. And they had the guy from Stranger Things. Oh, my God. His real name just popped out of my head. David. Oh, God. Help me out here. Help me out in the chat. Anyway, he was the guest on SNL. Great skit. I would even say that this was the best work that SNL has done in years and years and years. Maybe one of the best things that they have ever done, going back even to the 70s and the days of Bill Murray and Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy and all those guys. This was great. If you did not see this trailer, and I would totally be down to see a dark Sesame Street movie. So I will give them credit for that at least. But we had a throwback commercial in week one for Austin Idol. Austin Idol has a wrestling school that is very real. And I don't know if he bought time or what, but they aired a commercial with him for his school. And it was very cheesy, and it had old school graphics like you would see probably going back to the 1980s. But it was a real commercial. And some people thought it was a spoof. But this week, they did replay that commercial, by the way, but they had a new one. They had a commercial for Tony Fox Waffles and Tire Irons in Paducah, Kentucky, the home of Ricochet. I should ask Ricochet. Send Ricochet some tweets. He's from Paducah. Ask him if he's ever eaten at Tony Fox Waffles and Tire Irons. I gotta know if this is real. This one, I'm sure this was a spoof. But then again, there's a lot of weird shit in the South. No offense to anybody in the South. There's a lot of weird shit down there. Would you be all that surprised to come to find out that there is a place that sells waffles and tire irons? Because I wouldn't. But I'm pretty sure this was just a spoof. Tony Falk was a wrestler for many years. In fact, a little trivia note, he was one of the men who helped train Josephus, which is another name that you may recognize from the NWA. We had Allison Kay, the former Sienna, currently the NWA Women's Champion, one-on-one against Ashley Vox. Non-title match. Vox hit a flying head scissors and a cannonball, but it was all for naught. Kay hit the dude buster for the win, and she cut a promo after the match was over, and she said, boy, you know, your future is bright. Your future is bright, Ashley Vox, but unfortunately for you, it was not your time with the championship. We had James Storm. He came out to cut a promo. Again, that's what this show is built on. This show is built on the strength of its promos, not the strength of its matches. Now, there may be some good matches coming up. They tape 9 shows in 2 nights, so we have a bunch of more shows yet to come. I'm hoping at some point we get some really good matches too. But right now they're building characters. They want to build these people up, and you know, then you can pick and choose who you like and who you want to get behind. I think it's smart. And what helps them is they have people in this company who can talk. They've got a Nick Aldis, Eli Drake, even Tim Storm. How old is he, 53? They're telling a great story with Tim Storm. James Storm, he's a good talker. Eddie Kingston. So they got some good guys down there. But James Storm comes out. He is the national champion. And he was talking about, you know, what it's like to be a real man, unlike everybody else in the back. Eli Drake comes out. He's trying to stir the pot a little bit. Nick Aldis is ducking you. I don't know where this is going. I don't know if they're building a feud, maybe an alliance between these two. Obviously, they're building to something. Main event was the wild cards, Bram. They don't call him Bram here, but he'll always be Bram to me. Bram and Royce Isaacs against Eddie Kingston and Homicide for the NWA Tag Team titles. The match only went, 6-7 minutes? It was fine. The Dawsons ran in to cause the match to be thrown away. They beat down Kingston and Homicide. Show ended with an interview earlier in the day. Joe Galli sat down with Nick Aldis and with Camille, the lovely Camille, who is together with Bram, in case you were wondering. Little bit of information there for you. So they're building a story here where Camille never speaks. And Joe Galli, you know, he wants to know, how come you never let her speak? And Aldis takes exception to this and says, when have I ever not let her speak? She can speak whenever she wants to speak. Go ahead, ask her a question. I'm not stopping her. And finally, he gets to ask her a question and she doesn't answer. So, again, they're building to something here. It's almost like it reminds me of a Randy Savage, Liz type thing where it's different in that Savage was kind of overprotective of her. But anytime anybody wanted to talk to Elizabeth, Savage would flip out. You don't talk to her, you talk to me. So that's kind of what this reminds me of a little bit. Galli, to his credit, you know, as far as like a babyface announcer goes, he didn't back down. He's not afraid of his own shadow, like a lot of other announcers, the way they're built up these days. You know, he's asking the tough questions. Look, I've won Emmy Awards, he said. I've won Edward R. Murrow Journalism Award. And he is. He is actually a real news reporter out of San Antonio. He's got a news background. But the way they set this up, I thought this was very well done. Again, Aldis just carries himself like a world champion. He fits the part. So that was the show. That was NWA Power Week 2. As the champion, they continue to give him and Eli Drake and some of the key people some airtime. We're going to be seeing other names in the weeks to come. Melina, any Melina fans out there? Melina's going to be making her debut on NWA TV in these next few weeks. The Rock and Roll Express. So it's become, in 2 weeks, in just these first two episodes, I have to say, it really has become a guilty pleasure watch for me, because there's so much wrestling every single week. It's like, you know, enough. I got 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown. Tonight, you know, you got AEW every Wednesday head-to-head with NXT. And at what point do you just say, well, there isn't enough time in the week? So I watched the first show not really expecting much. And it was just a fun, easy-to-watch hour of pro wrestling. Am I going to feel the same way in 6 weeks? I don't know. Ask me in 6 weeks. But right now, I'm enjoying the hell out of this show. It's just different enough in its presentation that I can appreciate it for what it is. And clearly a lot of you guys feel the same way also, because I've seen almost universal praise for the show. Let's take one more look here at where things stand with this AEW poll for this week. Pretty much the same thing, 82 up, 18 down, over 1,700 votes, which is pretty darn good. So it looks like most people enjoyed the show this week, which is cool to see. I think what I'm going to do is, let me just check one thing here. Yeah, I think we're going to wrap things up. I think I'm going to just forego phone calls this week, and maybe we'll get back to it next week. But next week, we will be back for week 4 of AEW as the tag team tournament rolls on. I'm speaking like Michael fucking Cole now, when the sound off rolls on. This tournament rolls on next week. I believe in 2 weeks is when the finals take place. Unless they're holding off until the pay-per-view. I don't know if they've specified when the finals are going to be taking place. But we are heading very soon to the conclusion of the tag team tournament. And then I guess we'll have all of our champions sorted in AEW. We've got a world champion. We've got a women's champion. I don't know if they're going to be introducing a secondary title. I don't think they have to right now. But at some point in the next few months, I feel like they should. What they call it, I don't know. I almost feel maybe it's like an homage to, you know, WCW on the Turner Networks. Maybe they do like a television title. I feel, you know, we have like the North American title in NXT. We have the national title in the NWA, Intercontinental title and United States Championship. I think we need to get away from that stuff and maybe a television title. You know, and every TV title match has a 10-minute time limit or something like that. I wouldn't be against that. But I think at some point they're going to have to, as NXT did, they're going to have to introduce some kind of a secondary championship. At least I think they should. Let me know what you thought of the show. I'll be scanning the chat for a few minutes here after I end the stream, shooting the shit with some of you. You can still vote in the Twitter poll. It is up on my Twitter page, at Solomonster, if you want to give that a vote. And also, if you can give this video a thumbs up, that would be awesome. I would very much appreciate that. This will be archived very shortly after I end the stream, and then I will push the audio out to the feed tomorrow morning. So with that being said, thank you all for tuning in tonight. I appreciate the hell out of each and every single one of you. Hopefully you will join me next Wednesday. And also this weekend, episode 622 of The Sound Off coming up this Sunday. Halloween is coming up in a couple of weeks, my favorite holiday. So the Halloween show will be the following Sunday. That's it. I'm all out. Until next time, be well, stay safe. And again, I will see you guys back here again for a stream next Wednesday. Until then, take care, guys.